Hey, welcome to Info Under the Radar, the show where we talk with an expert to simplify everyday ideas, concepts, and subjects that surround us. Hello, and welcome to another shortcast of Info Under the Radar. I'm your host, Devendra.
And I'm Vishwajit.
So we've been off for quite some time. But in our defense, we were just preparing for this short episode. No, that's a lie. We were not. Let's come to the real thing that we are going to talk about, which is trivializing and understanding and making it more comprehensible. What exactly is the cost of a war? We see bigger numbers all the time, but personally, to me, I'm not rich enough to comprehend the amount of zeros when I see Apple being a $3 trillion company or a country's GDP or the cost of war in billions of dollars. So we'll try to see if we can do something about it. So that's primarily the idea of it. I'll just first ask my co-host to begin with. Why are we even interested in this topic to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, goal of, or at least our attempt is, we go from very top level of a country's economy and then breaking it down to how much that a percentage of a country's economy involves military budget. And then how does that budget actually come about? And we go at a very ground level of, for example, how does our individual equipment might even cost? So for example, when you hear Russia lost $5 billion within 2 days, you might be able to make sense of why they lost so much money within 2 days. Mm-hmm. Just as an example, it's a made up number. Just because they lost some planes, etc. And of course, we are not even mentioning, when we talk about some of the numbers, we are not even considering the cost of human life, which goes without saying.
Yeah. And talking of which, like if and this is, of course, as I said, mentioned earlier, we would be taking example of Russia and Ukraine at this point, because there's a lot of information influx. Some of it is comprehensible. Quite a lot of it was incomprehensible to us. So we tried to make some sense about it. But war isn't entirely like happening in just this continent always, right? Like, of course, it's a part of European experience to have wars because they give us that. But when we talk of wars, even in the recent decade, we have seen US spending trillions of dollars on war in what happened in Afghanistan. But when they give you numbers and then they say that, okay, US spent $8 trillion on war. It's not a very, legible number in my head. That what does $8 trillion exactly means? Or how does it affect a regular American citizens, let alone the entire world or the people who suffered it in Afghanistan? So that was the idea. And then there was also this statistic that came out that mostly by the money that was spent by US, it was mostly done by on a credit system, because that's what their economy primarily is. And then it's just $6.5 trillion just in interest rates that they would have to pay by 2050. And to me now, adding these two numbers is just a stupid big number, which is higher than like the combined GDP of many countries, taking some top ones in the account as well. So we are trying to see that, okay, how does war makes even any economic sense to begin with? Whether condemning it or not, that's of course a very obvious ethical question, not going there. Violence is always to be condemned. But this is more about understanding the numbers that go behind, just so that we get a clear picture. Okay, how does it work?
I think it's also keep in mind that the numbers which we are saying, for example, in case of US, that $8 trillion have been spent until 2020 or 2021, US in war in Middle East, so Afghanistan and Iraq and other places, and $6.5 trillion is just the interest rate. And that does not even include any of the cost associated with, for example, your army veterans who are coming back, who are suffering a lot, both physically, in some cases economically as well, because they don't necessarily have a good life afterwards. And their government is spending billions of dollars for them to become part of the system again, because they have a lot of trauma, both physical and mental, things like that.
And the effect lasts for decades. Like the people who suffered in war decades ago while being deployed as a service agent for US, their cases remain in the code and come into light, and then there is a decision. All of that could take anywhere between 2 to 3 decades,
yeah.
Where they are supposed to get some sort of economic remunerations based off of if the disadvantage that they got or any sort of ailment that they got was during the war and was on duty. So time and money both is spent. But let's contextualize it back to what is happening now. On the eastern end of Europe and on some border conflicts have always been fumating since 2014. And then one day the Russian president decides that that's it. My narrative is that I'm going to liberate Ukraine. In his head, that his plan was whatever it is. But now we are seeing the repercussions of that. How does it comes down in number? So we did some basic analysis and just take them with a pinch of salt. We're trying to take some isolated cases here, okay? So the Russian GDP from the last few years has been roughly oscillating between $1.4 to $1.7 trillion. Let's take the average of it to be roughly around that. 2021, they had $1.6 trillion as their GDP. Now, roughly 4 to 5%, precisely 4.3% of it goes to the military expenditure. So that would come down to a rough number of $68 billion. Now, let's see how much of income tax was collected in the year 2020. We have the number that is $60 billion. So now in one sense, if you think of it, the collective income tax given by Russian citizens has all been gone to sponsor the military expenditure of the year here. This gets worse. The estimated loss that has been given, rough numbers, as Vishwajit also mentioned earlier, was in just 2 days, Russia lost $5 billion. How does it equate to $5 billion? We'll come to that. But now let's see if it linearly grows that way. And let's say if war lasts for, I don't know, let's say 10 to 20 days. Let's take an average, let's say 10 days as well. In 10 days, by the same number, in 2 days, 5 billion, in 10 days, that would go to 25 billion. So in roughly 12 days, we are coming close to reaching 40 to 50% of the entire year's worth of military expenditure, which was, again, to remind you, was an entire year's worth of collective income tax collected from Russian citizens. Of course, these numbers are not directly correlated. There is no causation effect here. But just to put it into perspective, every cent that a regular work-going Russian earned, roughly at least 13% of that goes to income tax. So for every dollar you earn, 13 cents go there. And out of those 13 cents, all of which is now going down to this military expenditure by just this isolated case example. And I'm not even taking into account, this is just material loss, by the way. I'm not into taking into account what exactly is the cost of life here. People say that it's difficult to put a price tag on human life. But let's just be practical. In some cases, and in many cases like these, you kind of have to do that. So if we go by a rough estimate based off of per capita GDP, like the basically the GDP numbers that we mentioned, which is $1.6 trillion, and divide by the population of Russia, and then the life expectancy in Russia. And we say that, okay, some people are claiming 11,000 Russian troops have died, some saying 12,000 have died. I'll take a conservative estimate of 10,000 Russian soldiers have died. Even that would correspond to a cost of $4 billion worth of loss that they just lost, adding on top of what $5 billion in 2 days that was happening. It's a costly affair, right?
Yeah, I mean, we should mention that we here take an example of that. Let's say if the war is lasting for 10 days, and I think we should mention that by the when we are recording, it's already 20 days, I think.
Yeah.
So it started on 24th of February. We are recording on 14th of March. So it's roughly 20 days, basically, of war happening. So you can already imagine the numbers mentioned by Devendra can be multiplied even further. And I think this also does not include the cost of just the sheer cost on the families, which they will, these soldiers and the people might be coming from in many, many cases.
The emotional loss has no cost.
No, right? Not just the emotional loss. I think it's just, for instance, okay, if someone's dad is a army soldier, they have a certain standard of living because, and again, it varies from country to country. I don't know how the school system in Russia is. For example, maybe they have very good public schools. then of course, then it might not have any effect. But if it's something like India, where based on how much money you are earning, you go to a public or a private school, then that also impacts education of that child going forward, right? Or the kind of university they can go, right? So there is, these are the calculations which we can't even comprehend easily.
And this is where, like, and this is Russia being a bigger country and perceived to be a, was perceived to be a powerful country. Let's not forget that war involves two parties. Mm-hmm. The situation in Ukraine is not going to be any better. Their economy is 1/10 roughly of what Russian economy is, right? So even if we take the same calculative approach by going from GDP to military expenditure to the tax collected to what the war cost comes down to and crunch the numbers, we essentially come to the fact that they're bleeding money as well. And just to repatriate that, it's estimated that, it's a rough estimate, that they would need $10 billion every month after the war is over just to recover the losses during the war. And this is not to get up the economy up and running. So Polish Prime Minister, and I don't want to butcher his name, so I'll just keep it at that, has already said that European Union should already establish like a $100 billion fund for them. So if you go by these estimates, that would just be a 10-month fund. And that's a massively big amount.
Just to rebuild Ukraine.
Yeah. And their entire economy, if you think about it, was $100 billion. That was their GDP. So they would need an equivalent of what their country was producing in an entire year, roughly, just to recover the losses in the next 10 months. And these are most probably conservative estimates. The price is going to be much, they're going to be much, much higher.
Yeah.
And if you think of Russian, Ukrainian economy as well, most of their GDP or like a major portion of their GDP comes from these direct and indirect taxes, which is value-added taxes, income taxes and all. So if we think from that perspective, it's going to be difficult. And let's not forget that Ukrainian citizens since 2014 have already been paying an extra tax that goes directly to the military expenditure. So on top of their 18% tax slab on the income, they pay an extra 1.5%, which is being told to be temporary. But I doubt after this war is going to remain, the temporary limit on that is going to be extended for real long. They pay an extra 1.5% off of their every cent that they earn. And for what?
Yeah, I think it's also important to mention that one important aspect of this war in particular is the economic sanctions, which... a lot of Western countries are putting it on Russia, and we don't even know the actual impact of it, not just on Russia, but on the entire economy. I mean, the one sort of good thing, if I can even call it good, going well for Ukraine is that at least their central banks and things like that are working and part of the international banking systems, etc. And initial effect, which they the financial effect because of all these sanctions happened in Russia is also impacting Ukraine, because Ukraine and Russia also do some, you know, transactions, etc. But so far it is not impacting them so bad, but for Russia, it's going to be very, very bad. I mean, if I just look at the numbers of the impact from 2014 sanctions, which US and other countries put on Russia when they annexed Crimea, I guess everyone knows Crimea, but Crimea is just this very southern peninsula next to Black Sea in Ukraine. And Russia took over this control of this part in 2014. After that, the sanctions costed them $100 billion, which is about 4.2% of their GDP, which got entirely, they lost basically 4.2% of their GDP till now, just because of these sanctions. And this time around, these sanctions are even stronger. So we don't even know the actual cost of war in particular to Russia, purely in economic terms.
And this is not unheard for them. In 2000, when they did the same with Chechnya and Grozny, even after the post occupation of it or after occupying it, they've been spending like $3 to $4 billion like per year just to maintain their hold of that region. And if we just extrapolate that number, the population of Ukraine, let's say, in some hypothetical scenario, they occupy the entire Ukraine, right? By some forces or any which way mean.
Which is, by the way, a very, sorry to interrupt, but which, by the way, is a very, very big country just in terms of area.
Yeah, it's the biggest in Europe per se.
In terms of area.
Yeah, correct. So,
but in this case, we are not including Russia and Europe then.
We are not including Russia for sure, but if you take the entire European continent otherwise, it's the largest country as in terms of square kilometer area.
Mm.
And now their population is 40 times that of Chechnya or Grozny. Mm. And if that required $3 to $4 billion, and if I just simply multiply the number that would require to just maintain and run the state of affairs in Ukraine, we are thinking of providing Ukraine their entire GDP just as remuneration or just injecting money into them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget that in the past one decade that Russia itself hasn't seen any economic growth, any major economic growth.
Right.
It's not that they're now just on the brink of suffering a major economic crisis. And if we put in another numbers, because I think it's easy to understand in percentage. So it was predicted that they're going to grow by 2%, which when you think of $1.6 trillion becomes like a massively big number. Now it's predicted that they're going to shrink by 7%. So that's essentially a 9% delta or a difference that's roughly, let's say, a 10% extra burden that they're going to incur based off of prediction, 9 to 10%. And that is post-war. And to put it into perspective, if their economy drops by, let's say, 15% or so, and 7% is the conservative estimate again, like at least. And if their economy drops by 15%, they would come as close to an economic crash as was in 1998 in Russia when Putin was coming in power or came in power roughly around that time. Mm-hmm. And this is why he's being respected, because he got them out of it. So it would be another bad era beginning in per se from that perspective.
I think, and here we are not even considering that how many people are actually emigrating out of these countries, both Ukraine and Russia, because if you are losing a lot of people from your country, which I doubt that many of them will come back for whatever reasons, at least in Russia, a lot of people, as we know from news reports, that they don't want to come back because of lack of freedom of speech and whatever other issues they have. We don't have to go in there. And with Ukraine, I mean, like it or not, it's very hard to go back to a war-devastated country, right? So rebuilding also involves a lot of people, a lot of manpower. And if, let's say, 5% of population is never coming back, that will also have a very massive impact on economic output of a country.
Yeah. Now let's get back to one more thing, which would be that we just stated one number, right? And there are many such numbers that we stated, but one of them was like, okay, we just out of the blue came and said that someone predicted Russia is losing $5 billion in material cost or in army material cost in just 2 days.
Yeah.
How do you justify $5 billion just gone into, like, how do you reach that? How do you visualize that number?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so expensive?
Right. I think to understand that, maybe barring all the cost of movement of military, so for example, all your cost of just moving military from one country to another via planes or on ground, etc. If you just focus on the equipment which get used in a war, which, by the way, in a specific war, it varies. So for example, in war between Ukraine and Russia, there are multiple news sources which says different type of equipment getting used. And based on that, the cost analysis can change. But the some of the equipment which I am going to mention are, let's say, the most commonly agreed upon one. So for example, Russia is using multiple launch rocket systems, or MLRs for short, and each one of them cost from $6 to $12 million based on the model. So the model which Russia is claimed to be using is called BM Smerch. And it's roughly, I think, about $9 million. And please don't quote me on exact numbers, because this is all private, very private military information. So this is all just based on the
speculations most to some level.
Exactly. Speculation from people who are looking into these data and for us finding most common numbers across the board. Yeah. And then if you talk about tanks. So, for example, Russia famously uses T-72 or T-90 tanks these days. And based on the model of the tank, it can vary from $500,000 to $2.5 million, just a single tank, right? And if if imagine if a tank is costing $2.5 million and you lost 10 of those, within few hours, you already lost $25 million, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, if you move on from to even more expensive things, such as war helicopters, I mean, based on the type of helicopter, again, you are using, it's going to be very, very expensive. So famously, one of the most expensive helicopter, which just as an example, US Army uses Apache helicopter, which can range from $90 to $100 million. And even the maintenance cost few million dollars a year. Okay. So the helicopters which Russia is using, we don't know exactly, but let's say some of them will cost $60 to $70 million on an average, just some of these helicopters. And then, of course, on top of that, they're using aircrafts, which can range again from starting from $20 million to $50 to $60 million. So based on the aircrafts getting shut down from Ukrainian side, if they lost five of them, and if one of them is costing conservatively $25 million, if you lost four of these, you already lost $100 million. So now if you sort of try to add these numbers, you can kind of quickly understand how it can lead to $5 billion very, very quickly.
Like if I'm to give like percentage to all these numbers just to share, that you just shared, the last thing that you mentioned, $25 million, what was that thing again?
Aircraft. Average cost of a military air, a fighter jet, let's say.
Let's take four of them were lost, and already more than four have been lost in the reports that we have seen. So four of them, in if we assume the $5 billion scenario to be our loss at this point, that's 2% already gone when just your four systems are. If we take a conservative cost of these multiple launch rocket systems to be $10 million, it was set between 6 to 12. So if five of them were gone, then 1% is just coming out of them. So you see these numbers are really quickly adding up. The equivalent of Apache that the Russia might be using, let's say if it was not 90 to 120 but 60. So if five of them are lost, that's 6% gone right in front of your eyes. So if I add the last just basic three examples where I just took conservative estimates, and these are the number of things that were lost in just the first few days of when the war started in a full-fledged fashion.
Right.
It's 6 plus 2 plus 1, and we are coming close to 10%. And these are handful of numbers we're talking. We're not even talking double digits at this point.
And not including the cost of soldiers getting lost, which we also talked about in the beginning of the episode.
And the highly trained professionals who drive these systems, their training cost and their salaries and all of that.
The fuel cost, everything, everything. I mean, maintenance of these systems, as I said, like maintenance of Apache helicopters is speculated to be at least few million dollars. So if you calculate all of it, 5 billion seems like pennies in some sense.
Yeah. So this was our, let's say, a basic, small, isolated example which we wanted to discuss with you, to just to give you a fact that these numbers, although they look big, but their constructive elements are what makes them that big that quickly. So whenever there is a war news and now coming on, at least I would feel that, okay, these are the pillars on which I can quickly do a Google search and evaluate and see that, okay, how is this number even making any sense? And how does it impact me? Because a part of what I'm doing in any country, whether as a resident or non-resident, what my tax is going and how much am I contributing towards the war, knowingly or unknowingly?
I mean, also, I think that's why it's also such an interesting war, that it's going to increase military spending is already discussed, that it's going to increase everywhere. So we are going to pay more and more. So at least it makes sense to know, okay, where it is going. And then in future, if you see a tank is getting blown off, then you know, okay, where part of your money might be going.
Yeah. So that was our isolated example that we quickly wanted to come and share. Again, we have given many disclaimers throughout this, because this is a sensitive topic. We are not putting a price tag to a war or a loss of a loved one, none of those. But it's just we trying to make sense out of it without, of course, being any expert on this.
Yeah.
So hopefully this was of some help or gave you some comprehension to it.
At least a different, let's say, perspective on cost of war, if you are interested in that. I mean, we will also attach links to some of the sources we have used in our show notes. I think they're quite interesting. Fun fact on the side is that it's so funny that when I started looking into the individual cost of war equipment, it's insane that there are dedicated forums which have cost of all possible equipment military might be using. I don't know what their data sources are, but it's fascinating to me that how much information, even though so private, is kind of out there. And mm-hmm. also how many people are so invested in it. For myself, when I was researching into it, I felt very shady. I felt very weird. Yeah. Why, if someone is looking at my internet search, they might be thinking, why the hell this guy?
It's like crazy. Your search history would be just like groceries, 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 then the price of all the military equipment, then again, a shampoo.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. It's like, I'm looking after, okay, cost of a tank. Okay. I'm not satisfied with that. Okay. Cost of a war helicopter. Okay. And then Google is suggesting me questions like, can you buy a war helicopter? No, I'm not getting into your trap. So Google is even suggesting. So seems like people want to buy it.
Yeah. Now, as far as we are concerned, we have troubles buying the new iPad as well. So like, we are out of it totally.
Yeah. Still sounds like a first world problem if we say we have trouble buying iPad, but yeah.
This is a first world war in all its entirety. That's so I'm fair, just sticking to the theme.
Okay. So then before we make more jokes and we completely understand it's a sensitive topic, we do really hope that it gave you some different perspective. And with that, we would say goodbye and see you in the next episode.